We're beginning the first of 4 weeks of the Lent, or it's not Lent. Goodness me. Advent. Well, there's a couple of letters in there, E-N-T. So just have to jumble them about a bit. The word Advent, you probably know what it means anyway, but it means arrival or coming of a notable person. And by the way, the title for this morning, well, I was wrestling with two titles. It's either God is love or it is the love of God. So you can pick. But actually in the scripture that I'm going to read, that bit God is love is in it twice. So we'll maybe go for that. So the word Advent means the arrival or coming of a notable person. And as we enter Advent, you probably know this as well because you're smart people, that there's four main themes in Advent. Anybody want to shout out some of them? Well, I've just given you one. What's it? Love. Okay. What else? Come on. Happiness. Close. Joy. Yep. Love, joy. Peace. Albert's sitting there. He's afraid to make a mistake. Because Rhoda will kill him when she gets him home. Albert, he didn't know that. Oh, did she? Oh, right. So, love, joy, peace, hope. Who said hope? Very good. That came from Honor. Well done, Honor. Okay, so those are the four main themes of Advent. Love, joy, peace, and hope. And we're doing love today, just to let you know that again. Because I don't want you going home and someone saying, what did the pastor talk about this morning? I had no idea. We're going to be talking about love. God is love, the love of God. And those four things that I've just mentioned, and you mentioned as well, God sent his son Jesus into our world to bring us those four things. Love, joy, peace, and hope into humanity, if you like. And today, we're going to start with God is love. Over the years, and I have no idea how many love songs have been written, but I would guess thousands upon thousands of love songs have been written over the years. And I wonder if I was to ask you this morning, and I'm not asking you to respond, but if I asked you, have you got a favorite love song? I wonder, do you? Do you maybe listen to the radio or you've got CDs or whatever, MP3, whatever they're using now, and a song comes on. That song goes way back, I'm guessing. That'd be the 60s, yeah? Rosie's nodding. So there's so many love songs that sometimes we're just listening, maybe driving in the car, and one comes on, and you go, oh, I remember that song. And it brings you back to a memory, maybe, of yesteryear. And that's nice, as long as it's a good memory. Yeah, it's okay. But sometimes we all have a favorite love song. Now, when I was preparing this, there was a few songs came into mind. And I wonder, do you remember any of these songs? Do you remember this one? Money Can't Buy Me Love. Who sang that? The Beatles. Okay, now you're warming up. Here's just one verse of that. I'll give you all I've got to give if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I've got, I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money can't buy me love. What about this one? I can't help falling in love with you. Who sang that? Elvis, oh, you got that okay. Here's a verse out of that song. Take my hand, take my whole life too, for I can't help falling in love with you, for I can't help falling in love with you. Now, here's one of my favorites. I hope this isn't too sloppy for some of you. I think I'm right in saying it was the main love song in a film that went back. I think Patrick Swayze was in it. Ghost, he called it. Any of you remember that film? Goes back quite a while. Now, the song there is Unchained Melody. Does that ring a bell? Who sang it originally? Well done. That was you, David. Good man. No, David's going back, getting the age away there, David. The Righteous Brothers. Okay. And I'm only going to do one verse of it as well. Woe, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch a long, lonely time. And time goes by so slowly. And time can do so much. Are you still mine? I need your love. I need your love. God, speed your love to me. And finally, that one that you watched on the video. Anyone, if I had a prize to give, I would give it for this one. Anybody know who that lady was? Hey, David, good man. It was on the screen, was it on the screen? Ah, for goodness sake. Here's me. I'm taking all that back, David. Me thinking you were smart. It was on the screen, right? Well, nobody else shouted it out. Very good. Jack, I hadn't a clue who sang that. I really didn't. But that was the first song came into my mind when I was preparing this. What the world needs now. But I hadn't a clue who sang it. But if you don't know anything now, you just Google it and you'll get it. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And this last line, not just for some, but for everyone. And that's one of the things about God's love that is so special. It's for everyone. Absolutely everyone. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter your background. It takes into no account your education, your qualifications, whether you are qualified or not qualified. Doesn't matter. God's love is for everyone. God is love. And that good news extends to everyone. The scripture that I would like us to focus on this morning, and if you can and you'd like to stand up and stretch your legs, please join me in standing as I read God's word. It's found in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. And hopefully it'll be on the screen. Yeah. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And this is how we know that we live in him, and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Please be seated. And again, may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. This is the same John, that the portion of scripture that I've just read to you. It's the same man, the same John who wrote the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, there's contained probably the most quoted and the most known verse in Scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I would like us to contrast that verse in the Gospel of John to this verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. This one isn't as well known as the one in the Gospel 3, verse 16. But I'd like us to contrast the two of them together, because it's the same man who gave both. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. What he was alluding to in the Gospel, he spells it out more, I think, later on in his life in 1 John chapter 3, 16. This is how we know what love is. You know, sometimes maybe someone, what is love anyway? What is this? What is that? How do you define some things? And if we're honest, we struggle sometimes defining things. And some people struggle defining love. But John makes it easy for us here. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That's love. That's love. That's God's love. God demonstrated his great love for all of us through the life, through the death, and through the resurrection. And we've just celebrated that of his son Jesus. The ultimate sacrifice. What's the ultimate sacrifice anyone could ever make for you? To clean out their bank account and give it to you? To take their Ferrari or their Porsche, park it in your drive and give you the key and go, it's all yours, enjoy? No. The ultimate sacrifice that any human being can ever make is to give up their life for someone else's life. That's the ultimate sacrifice. Didn't we celebrate that on Remembrance Sunday? When we remembered all those brave men and women. They paid the ultimate sacrifice by their own lives so that you and I can have freedom. And that's exactly what Jesus did at Calvary. Exactly. He sacrificed his life so that you and I could have not just freedom from sin, but the promise and the gift of eternal life. Jesus willingly gave up his sinless life for our sinful life. Do you remember, a number of weeks ago I think we did it, we were looking at the scene on Calvary, the three crosses, and one man on one side of Jesus, he's mocking Jesus with his dying breath. The man on the other side, well, he's with his last breath asking Jesus to remember him. That was a cry for mercy. But there was an interaction between the two villains, if you like, on the other cross, the two crosses. And the interaction was something like this. We're here, and I'm paraphrasing, we're here on this cross because of what we have done. We're criminals. We've been found guilty of our crimes. So we are being punished justly. But this man, he has done nothing wrong. And didn't Pontius Pilate even confirm that? He can find nothing wrong with this man. What did he try to do? Wash his hands. Folks, you can't really wash your hands of Jesus. He doesn't go away. His love for us is so deep and meaningful. Whether we want to receive it or not, God's love doesn't change. He still loves us. Whether we reject him or not, that doesn't alter the depth of his love for us. Not one bit. But this sinless Son of God, he came, he took our sin, he bore it on Calvary. And with him in the tomb, that sin was, if you like, symbolic of its sin being overcome, of being buried by Christ through Christ. And therefore, in his resurrection, we too have life Imagine a new beginning, a new life. That's what we get when we get saved. Old things pass away. All things become new. In Albert's prayer, he prayed something interesting. We've all got a record. Now, if you want to know what a miracle is, well, one thing. It's a miracle that I don't have a criminal record. Was it because I was such a good child growing up? Was it because I was a model teenager? No. Definitely not. I don't have a criminal record because I didn't get caught by the police. That's the truth. I never got caught. Now, there was things that I got up to. If I had got caught, I would have a criminal record today. But I thank God that I don't. You see, whenever we become children of God, he wipes that slate clean. Now, the record, there is a record in heaven of everything we've ever done, ever said. But as far as the east is from the west, Christ has so far removed our sins from us, folks. There's no stain or blot on our lives down here. There's not. Because we're forgiven. We're redeemed. We read this in 1 John chapter 4. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. You know, sometimes in the Christian world, Christian life, we use words sometimes that other people haven't a clue what we're talking about. That's the truth. And one of those words often is atonement. We're atoned through the blood of Christ. Now, someone who's never been at church or Sunday school in their life, hearing that word, would just scratch their head and go, haven't got a clue. I haven't got a clue. Atoned. So what is atonement? Do we know what it is? It's the reconciliation between God and humankind through Jesus Christ, and only him alone. You can break that word down. Write it out in a piece of paper sometime. Actually, maybe I should have done it for the screen, but I didn't. You can break it into three components. Atonement. At-one-ment. At-one-ment. In other words, it is the reuniting of a broken relationship caused by sin. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, humankind, as we know, subsequent to their sin, they were cast out of the garden. What did that mean for humanity? It meant separation. It meant a broken relationship between God, our Creator, and humankind. In other words, that relationship was broken. A separation took place between God and humankind. And when I was doing this, this thought came into my mind. Illustration. Philip was emphasizing, and I'm sure... our other pastor here knows how important sometimes that illustrations can be. And this illustration came into mind. Imagine this piece of wire. That's us and God together. I don't know if you can see from down there, but there's two strands in that. There's a red wire and there's a black wire. So they're together. So what happens whenever sin came into the world? Separation took place. So God's here, and we're here. No relationship. The connection between God and humanity, it was broken because of sin. Now, I know that there's people who don't believe that we were born sinners. There are those who believe that we weren't born steeped in sin. There's a guy called, get his name right here, Abraham Maslow. I first came across this guy when I was doing some of my counseling courses. And Abraham Maslow, he was a 20th century psychologist. And he has a famous proposed hierarchy of human needs. It's like a pyramid. And within the pyramid, he puts a hierarchy of human needs. And I'm not going into that. But part of his proposed hierarchy of human needs. It says that as human beings, we all have a basic need to be loved. And I would agree with that. And I think you would. A hierarchy of human needs. We all need to be loved. We all need to feel loved, to be a part of something. That's why families are so good. That's why God instituted families. One of the greatest things on this earth. And you know what, folks? It's under attack. Families are under attack today. In America in particular, and I'm not getting political here, I'm just stating the facts. They now want to change the language where they don't use the word mother, they don't use the word father. When it comes to gender, it's not male and female anymore. They have toilets, and on the door, this is fact, it says whatever. They're advocating that boys, and it's happening. It happened a few months ago in a school in America. A boy dressed in a skirt went into a toilet and raped a 15-year-old girl. I didn't make that up. That's a fact. The whole fabric of our society, folks, is under attack. And family life is right at the middle of it, trust me. But this psychologist, yeah, I agree with him that human need, one of the best or highest, the hierarchy is that we all need to feel loved, be loved. But he also believed this, that all people are inherently good. All people are inherently good. Well, I would disagree with him on that one. Why? Because Scripture disagrees with him on that one. The Bible doesn't teach that we are all inherently good. In fact, the opposite. The psalmist got it spot on in Psalm 51 verse 5 when he said this. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And if you read that same verse in the Living Bible, it reads like this. But I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. And then Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Friends, if everything had been okay, if everything had been okay, if we didn't need a Savior, if we were not sinners, then tell me, why did God send his Son to this earth? Today, the most horrible and cruel is death imaginable. If that wasn't necessary, why would a God of love do that to his own Son? And the simple answer to that is he wouldn't. He wouldn't. There was no other way. There was no other way for God to reconnect him and us together through Christ his Son. What does that look like in a practical term? This is where I thank my mate Alan. These two wires were broken. I can separate these two wires. What's holding them together? What's bringing them together is this connector here. I'm sure you've all had a connector in your hand at some point in your life. Maybe ladies you haven't, but men maybe have. This connector. Folks, this is as simple as I can put it. Christ is our connector between heaven and earth. Jesus Christ, he brings us back together again. What was broken through him can be reunited. We can be, this is that at-one-ment, atonement, at one with God only through Christ. And Paul gets it again in Romans chapter 5. He says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that lovely? While we were still sinners. You see, some people have this perception that if you want to get saved, you need to be perfect. You need to do everything right. You need to think everything right. Your behavior has to be perfect. No. No. You see, God knows that we couldn't fulfill that. God knows that we could never make ourselves good enough So what did he do? He sent his son Jesus to take that sin, to forgive our sin so that we can be reunited with God. In concluding, Abraham Maslow, he was right when he said that all human beings have a basic need to be loved and to have a real sense of belonging. The truth is this, folks, human love can wax and wane. I've seen it. I've counseled people who have been victims of it. How terrible it is when a husband or wife tells the other one, "I don't love you anymore." How horrible it is when a child tells their loving parents, "I don't love you. I don't love you." And tragically, some people have ended their lives because they either lost a love or just simply did not feel loved in this world. But today, the good news is this: God is love. That's the good news. God is love. And his love, we're going to talk more about it tonight if God tarries. It's going to be about God's unfailing love. I'm not going to go into that right now. But God is love. Listen to this. God's love is unconditional. God's love is unfailing. God's love is unlimited. God's love is everlasting. He will never ever come to you or to me and go, "I'm sorry, I don't love you anymore. I'm just sorry. I can't get on with you anymore. You're not good enough for me." Friends, God will never do that. Never. Jesus desires to have a meaningful, loving relationship with every single one of us. And during communion, we remember Jesus' sacrifice for our sin. It is his sacrifice and his sacrifice alone that reunites us, that reconciles us from that broken relationship to be one again with Christ, in Christ. Folks, that's a priceless gift of love. How can you calculate that gift? Do you know what some people apparently do? I confess I've never done it, but apparently some people do this. When they get a gift at Christmas, they go online and Google it to see how much it cost. Yeah. I hope none of us does that. But how could we ever Google how much it cost Jesus to give us his gift of love and the gift of eternal life? It's priceless, folks. And here's the question as I finish, and I mean it. Will we accept his love or will we reject his love? It's that simple. Will we accept the love of God or will we reject it? There is no love greater than Jesus' love. No love greater. My plea with you today is please embrace him. Embrace him lovingly, because he wants to embrace us lovingly. Finish with this scripture. John 15:13-14. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Amen.